We're going to continue the hour by talking about the big news that came down at the very end of last week. The state Supreme Court issued a major ruling striking down the legislative district lines drawn by Republican lawmakers last year. Said it was an act of partisan gerrymandering that violates the state constitution. 4-3 ruling, all four Democrats on one side, all three Republicans on the other. They have sent it back to the General Assembly to redraw the district lines. They've got until February 18th to submit a new set of lines to a three-judge panel who will then have until February 23rd to approve or reject them, and there may be another appeal to the state Supreme Court after that. Got to be a real quick timeline if the state is going to stick with its current schedule of holding the primary on May 17th. That's the rundown. With more on it, though, we are joined on the phone by Michael Bitzer, who is a professor at Catawba College in North Carolina and the author of the book Redistricting and Gerrymandering in North Carolina, and has been doing yeoman's work in the last couple of days, keeping everyone informed and well-educated about this very complicated issue. Michael, thank you so much for being with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for the invitation.
So, general thoughts about the ruling when it came down and you had a chance to read it. It is, by judicial standards, not a very long ruling, but what was your first take on it when you saw it?
Yeah, I was surprised by how quickly the court turned around, and this is just an order that was released on Friday night. I think the court recognized that when they held oral arguments last Wednesday, not even a week ago, they needed to let the state legislature and particularly also the North Carolina State Board of Elections and all 100 counties kind of get a sense of where they were heading. So this is just simply an order that we should await a further opinion on. But we got enough of the basics to understand, A, the maps are unconstitutional, B, the court is telling the legislature, if you're going to redraw the maps, here's how you need to incorporate various neutral criteria. You can also demonstrate that you haven't engaged in partisan gerrymandering through a wide variety of tests. But it was the speed of which being handed down, and then also the pretty stinging dissent by Chief Justice Newby, joined by his two other Republican colleagues, that really called into question, can the court even make this kind of a decision? So it kind of played out along the partisan lines that we were all expecting it to.
There was an earlier state Supreme Court ruling that struck down the 2018 legislative map, also as an act of partisan gerrymandering, and for that reason we had different lines for 2020. What, if anything, is different or more substantial about this decision versus that decision?
Well, actually, the previous decision was by a three-judge panel led by two Democrats. So that case did not get appealed up to the state Supreme Court. When we had the trial in January and the ruling from then, two Republicans and one Democrat, they made the argument, yes, we find that there are partisan gerrymanderings, that there is intentional pro-Republican districts that have been drawn at the congressional level, state House and state Senate. But we don't have the power as a court to deal with any remedies because this is what's called a political question, something best left to the legislature and ultimately to the voters to deal with. Once that decision was appealed up to the state Supreme Court, then we got the Friday ruling, the order that said, yes, courts can engage in this because it's about constitutional principles, free elections, free assembly, the equal protection of the law. So really, we had two different cases from 2018, 2019, and from 2022 that really set up the dynamics of the court could go one way or it could go the other way, and the court definitely put down its marker.
Speaking with Michael Bitzer about the state Supreme Court's ruling last week on partisan gerrymandering, and just to underscore how complicated an issue this is and how many moving parts, I could have sworn there was a state Supreme Court ruling in 2019, and I've been trying to follow this issue closely, and there's just so much going on.
There is, and I would forgive you for the whole dynamic of the 2010s, because when I wrote my book on the subject, I literally had to split the 2010 decade into two separate chapters, one dealing with racial gerrymandering, the other with partisan gerrymandering. So many cases, so much complexity behind all this. I can fully understand the dynamics of where am I in this grand scheme of redistricting litigation.
Well, from my read on this case, one of the, if not the key phrases here is the voters' right to substantially equal legislative representation. And that was kind of the trigger for ruling that the way the district lines are drawn right now does not provide that substantial equality. But what does that mean in practice?
Boy, that's a great question. I think we may get that in the subsequent opinion that is later released by the court. But what some would argue is, does that portend to proportional representation? Mm-hmm. Meaning that if Democrats get 48% of the statewide vote for state House candidates or 49% for the state Senate, should they equal that percentage in their representation? We don't have proportional representation in the United States in our electoral system. We have a single member who wins 100% of that seat, and that's naturally going to skew the dynamics to the winning party. So I think, you know, there's still several questions that are left unanswered by Friday's order. We'll just have to wait and see how the court deals and fleshes out those kinds of questions with their ultimate opinion.
And one of them has to be the question of how do you measure partisan gerrymandering when it comes to the fact that a sizable percentage and a growing percentage of North Carolinians are registered independents, right?
Exactly. And by my analysis, we could see registered unaffiliated voters become the largest block of registered voters as soon as March, perhaps by the beginning of April. What that means in terms of the electoral dynamics is that oftentimes people, particularly folks under the age of 40, will register as unaffiliated, but that is simply a avoid the partisan label dynamic, that sometimes people think I'm going to register as unaffiliated, but I am indeed a Democrat or a Republican. It could also mean that perhaps they're disgusted with both parties and seeking not to be associated with either one. So a lot of work still needs to be done in North Carolina politics to understand this phenomenon.
Speaking again with Michael Bitzer, and again, the state Supreme Court ruling came down on Friday. As you mentioned, just an order, we'll get a longer ruling later, but there's a lot that has to happen between now and the 18th, and then again, the 23rd. There's going to be a lot of activity in the next couple of weeks. What should folks expect to see?
I think certainly with the state legislative districts, we will see new maps for the state House and state Senate. One of the conditions, though, that the court put on the legislature was to do what is called racial polarized voting analysis. And that may take some time in order to construct that kind of analysis to see where pockets of issues that they have to address with the Voting Rights Act of 1965 may influence the district lines there. There is also the potential appeal of the congressional map to the U.S. Supreme Court that the Republican legislative defendants inserted into their brief to the state Supreme Court, saying, if you strike down the congressional maps, we have the option of going to the U.S. Supreme Court to get further clarification on Article 1, Section 4, and ultimately who has power to redraw congressional maps. So still a lot of moving parts before we fully realize what could happen by the 18th and subsequently afterwards.
And then beyond that, ultimately, we'll have new district lines for the election in 2022 and the primary election, which is coming up fairly soon.
Yes.
What, if anything, could happen after that? I know there's already talk about There's some talk about impeaching Supreme Court justices among some Republicans. I don't know if anything's going to come of that, but there's also a lot of talk about like what happens after the 2022 elections in terms of the district lines.
Yeah, I would be probably more focused at this point on the November 2022 elections. And there are two seats on the state Supreme Court that are currently held by Democrats that Republicans are going to target with extreme, dynamics to capture at least one, if not two, of those seats. One of the justices is retiring, Justice Hudson, who issued the order. The other is Justice Irwin, and both are Democrats. That's going to be a monumental electoral battle for control of those two seats. And we've gotten some indication that if Republicans do take over the majority on the state Supreme Court, perhaps a new case comes about that challenges the ruling of this particular case. So it may be a temporary victory for Democrats to look at, but Republicans have said basically rue the day and be careful what you wish for.
And as we start to wrap up this conversation, we've talked about the nuts and bolts of the ruling and what it means. Do you think the state Supreme Court got it right? What were your thoughts about the merits of the ruling?
I mean, certainly I think the dynamics, and we'll have to wait for the full opinion to come out to really study the constitutional dynamics. We had two very different lower court opinions reading the same constitutional provisions, the free election clause, the equal protection clause, the freedom of assembly clause. Both courts took very different dynamics with that. Once we get the full opinion to kind of see where that plays out, as I teach to my students, the law is made up of words, but words have to be interpreted. And certainly partisanship can influence how somebody's interpretation of those words matter.
You can read more from Michael Bitzer online at the Old North State Politics blog or at oldnorthstatepolitics.com. Again, he's the author of Redistricting and Gerrymandering in North Carolina. You can find that online as well. Michael Bitzer, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.